I'd like to take a moment to wish the Keystone XL pipeline an unhappy 7th anniversary. It was 7 years ago this month that the oil pipeline project submitted its construction application to the Obama administration. Now, while most applications are approved, well, within 2 years, generally speaking, the Keystone XL project continues to be delayed by repeated studies and certainly being protested against by many. My next guest is here to detail the costs of these delays and how they run counter to the energy and job creation priorities and promises by the Obama administration. She's a senior manager with the American Petroleum Institute, Cindy Shild. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. Thanks for having me today.
And the website is AmericanPetroleumInstitute.com. I look at the timeline, Cindy, 7 years delays and reviews and studies, many of which by the Obama administration who have said and reported back, we don't see a problem, go forth and pipeline. But what is it that this administration just doesn't want to have happen with this?
You know, it's politics. I mean, it's clearly about politics at this point. And, you know, the cost, as you mentioned, it's to American consumers, to America's workers that are waiting for these jobs and have been for more than 7 years now. It's every pipeline has been approved, as you said, in less than 2 years, every single one that crosses America and U.S. and Canadian borders. And we have five environmental assessments, each conducted by the same administration's own State Department, each finding this to be the most efficient and safe means to bring Canada's oil, but not only Canada's oil, picking up some of our own domestic production out in our plain states, down to our refiners in the Gulf, where we can turn it into more valuable products. So instead of taking a look at the facts and the merits, and if that were the case, this would have been decided long time ago. Politics have intervened, and that is unfortunate when you look at our national security interests, which should be the deciding factor of this pipeline.
And if I recall my Keystone timeline correctly, there were objections by, I believe, one of the state governors where the pipeline would go through, and alterations of the pipeline path were made to appease those objections. So it's not like that the owners of this pipeline project or the overseers of this project are not unwilling to cooperate. They certainly have bent over backwards in every way, shape, or form.
Oh, absolutely. It's not only been a thorough and an extensive process. It has also been one that has enjoyed vast support. During these deliberations, some of the most transparent in the State Department's history, I mean, there's been millions of comments, dozens of public hearings. At one point, when there were some sensitive areas around an aquifer, a water part of the underground water body, it was Nebraska, the State Department conceded that the state should lead that part of the assessment. Even then, it was recommended to that state's governor that it be approved and move forward. So, I mean, every step of the way, this project has not only just enjoyed vast public support, political support as well, you see from both sides of the aisle. And, you know, a few other things that are interesting, not only have all the other pipelines been approved that cross international borders, but since the time of this application back in 2008 when our president was about to enter office, more than 30,000 miles of oil and gas pipeline have been built in the United States. There's also five other major pipelines that are on book to bring Canada's oil to market. So the east, two to the east coast of Canada, two to the west, and another down to the Gulf Coast in the U.S. This has become a symbol. Experts agree that the facts, the merits, and the fact that Canada's oil will be developed stand on their own. We just did a poll over the weekend showing the fact that voters still support building Keystone XL strongly, 68%, and poll again shows the same thing, that the voters support this pipeline. Also, as we enter the 2016 cycle, and who would have ever thought that we were about to go into another presidential election and have candidates weighing in on this, as opposed to our president making a decision. That's unfortunate. And at the same time, we have this administration advocating a deal that's going to help Iranian producers. but harm U.S. and Canadian producers. I mean, that's not how you harness America's economic and diplomatic potential.
Yeah,
and that's at a cost of our national and energy security, and that's a shame.
Yeah, we talked about that, how the Iran deal is allowing a terrorist nation to develop nuclear and start to put their petroleum on the market. And yet in this country, both those industries get their necks stood on by this administration. We're talking with Cindy Child, who is a senior manager with the American Petroleum Institute. AmericanPetroleumInstitute.com is their website. Talking about the continued delays and denials of the facts about the Keystone XL pipeline. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. 7 years of spinning the wheels and going nowhere. And just as a comparison, it took America 1,300 days, a little bit over 1,300 days, to fight and win World War II. Took Lewis and Clark just about 1,100 days to walk the Louisiana Purchase and back. And it took about 1,405 days to build the Golden Gate Bridge. And yet here we are, Cindy, just waiting. You know, why not, if this administration doesn't want it, why do they just keep it in limbo? Pull the plug on it. Be upfront about it.
Great question. I mean, the better question is if in fact this administration was looking at the fact that they conducted themselves, why hasn't this been approved? But if they are going to find reason, I mean, step up, show some energy leadership, and it hasn't been the case. And the fact that it will be decided in an arbitrary fashion as opposed to based on the merits, based on the support, based on what voters are saying, that's a shame. It's politics at its work. The American people agree that it's costing jobs. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we're in the situation that we are now. I mean, why? I don't know. Politics, again, it's become almost laughable, or people losing energy, making some jokes at the fact that we're looking at one pipeline this long after the fact-finding missions again confirm that it's safe for the environment and the oil is finding its way to market. It's not like but the other thing is, it's not like Canadian oil sands are new. We've been refining oil sands in this country for decades. We just have the ability to do more with Canadian and U.S. production than we ever have, which would help us be the energy superpower and reach that potential that we can regarding our energy security. So what's going to happen? I mean, clearly there's legacy issues at hand, as you know, in the media and then following, I'm sure, many different stories, but you know they're looking into going into Paris, setting a climate record, and for whatever reason, despite their own fact-finding missions, they're going to point the fingers in the wrong direction, and that's unfortunate to cost us our jobs and reliable supplies of energy.
And they're even using the Pope with his pronouncement about the environment as something for a footstool to rest upon for blocking these projects and to continue to push green energy projects, which after all these decades, if those green energy projects are the end-all be-all, why have they not been developed into a full widespread common day use after many decades? I mean, how long have we been talking about solar panels, for example?
Yeah, and you know, what it really should be, and from my, you know, from API's standpoint, American Petroleum Institute and our companies, we support all forms of energy. We just don't believe that there should be a selection among winners and losers at the expense of consumers. It should be market-driven. And when you look at the investments made on that front by industry, you're talking about an industry where they're investing more than the federal government on renewable energy. You have, from 2000 to 2012, the U.S. natural gas industry invested about $81 billion in greenhouse gas mitigating technologies, where other industries invested all combined, slightly above that, $10 billion above. And we're surpassing the investments being made by the federal government. So, again, they're approximately for a lot of the reduction, and natural gas is a big reason, and our increase in natural gas use throughout our manufacturing as well as in the petroleum industry, it has accounted for a lot of the reductions in carbon emissions as well. So if you really care about the environment, having this oil brought to U.S. refineries as opposed to going to China where they're looking out for their energy futures and certainly investing in Canada and U.S., anywhere they can, it should be a no-brainer. Where do you think it will be managed better?
Well, certainly in American refineries versus China, which has been belching out more pollutants than the U.S. ever had, even back in the early days of the industrial era. To learn more about this issue, the facts about the matter, the jobs that it's costing, and the tens of thousands, temporary jobs as well as permanent jobs. Jobs are still jobs as opposed to the way that the bogusly counts the unemployment rate by saying, well, that person isn't working, so they don't even count the unemployment rate. Then they come up with that bogus 5.1%. Anyway, this is really a study on how politics can just restrain advancement and economic growth in so many ways. And this is just the one project. There are countless other examples of this. But to learn more about the Keystone XL pipeline and the realities of the situation, pay a visit to the website for the American Petroleum Institute, AmericanPetroleumInstitute.com. We're joined this morning by their senior manager, Cindy Shiles. Cindy, thanks so much for clearing the air and helping us understand really the dangers, the importance, and really how politics is polluting, not the oil this time. Thanks for doing that and for being here this morning.
Thank you. Thank you very much.